Good evening, everyone. Can I ask everyone to please rise to salute the flag, followed by a moment of silence?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Can I have a motion to receive the claims audit report?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any questions? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. And can I have a motion to approve the minutes of February 11th, regular meeting, February 25th, public hearing, and February 25th, regular meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Correspondence, Ms. Okada.
First is a letter to the Board of Education from Ms. Diana Jones regarding superintendent search. Two is a letter to Mr. Jeremy Thode from Ms. Jeanette Santos requesting support for re-election to Western Suffolk BOCES Board of Ed. Three is a letter to Mr. Jeremy Thode from Mr. Peter Wunsch requesting support for his re-election to the Western Suffolk BOCES Board of Education.
Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Board committee reports. We have no reports this evening. District committee report. PTA council. Mandy?
Excuse me.
Can we put it the next time?
You want to speak on it next time?
Yes.
Sure. We also had a health and safety meeting. Jerry, want to speak a little bit to that?
Yes, we met with Dr. Simmons' office earlier this week. Actually, it was yesterday. Felt like forever ago, but I have to say, in working with our facilities department, it was a great meeting. I felt confident in what the district is doing and taking care of the district and the proper cleaning. That was the main focus of the discussion, as I'm sure everyone can imagine. And I think the district is doing everything that they can.
Okay, thank you. Superintendent's report.
Yeah, I'm going to give the mic over to Ms. Bradshaw and our wellness committee.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. I am so fortunate to work in a district where we really value the whole child. And we have a team gathered here tonight from our wellness committee to give you a presentation. These are some incredible representatives, but if you look across the entire audience, you see people dedicated to our students' wellness, our administrators here, teachers here, nurses here, community members, and of course the Board of Education. I really am excited to highlight also the involvement of our students. And so the first person to represent our wellness committee work tonight is our student Alexis Albert.
I want to thank you so much for listening to the Wellness Committee efforts tonight. I'm Alexis Albert, a senior at Smithtown East. In the beginning of the year, I sat down with Ms. Bradshaw because as part of the school project, I wanted to create a mental health campaign. And in this meeting with Ms. Bradshaw, we were able to figure out that a lot of the goals that I had for the year for my mental health campaign intertwined with what we wanted out of the district goals for Smithtown Central School District as a whole. So we were able to form a plan. And we started creating the basis of what we wanted out of the Wellness Committee and the BREATH campaign. The BREATH campaign stands for Boosting, Reforming, Enriching Access to Health Education. So over the course of the presentation, we'll be highlighting some of the efforts that we've been taking this year because we've been working tirelessly to make sure that we're putting a focus on student health and overall wellness. So thank you.
Good evening, my name is Kelly Paplin. I'm a third grade teacher at Dogwood Elementary School, and I'm also the social emotional learning instructional specialist at Dogwood. This evening, I'd like to give you a brief update on the expansion of our Smithtown Wellness Committee. We have focused this year to include mental wellness as well as physical, emotional, and social well-being. We are looking at increasing student and community representation. We have always had a nice support of stakeholders from faculty and staff, but this year we have had quite a few new members from the community and from the student body, which we are very excited about, and you will see many of those members highlighted here this evening. We have also joined alliance with some local community groups, including Athletes Helping Athletes, DECA, and Friends of Music, to name a few. We have had huge growth in participation. Our first few years, we met down in the small conference room on the first floor, and this year we have moved up to room 222A with almost standing room only and several subcommittees working under us, which we will highlight this evening. We are looking this year to have a specific focus on recognizing and destigmatizing mental health illness, and we will talk about many of the measures that we have been discussing in our committee to help that in our district. And we also have had an increased focus on staff training and awareness, and recognizing that staff are the first interactors with students who may be in need of that support. And that training has focused on social emotional learning and training of some of our staff beyond teachers, including aides. And finally, we are looking to make all of the actions that we take this year something that we can put into place so that our goals are actionable.
Hi, my name is Susan Sagent Fitz-Harris. I am a parent of two daughters that go to the high school and has graduated. I'm also a local business owner. I'm also a mentor and have been very involved in the high school with the students. I'm also representing a lot of other parents, local businesses, and actually the students. And I'm here because I was so tired of my daughter coming home crying about what's happening in her class, you know, just her fellow students, mom, and this, and it's affecting everyone. So that's why I'm here, because I want to do everything I can in my power to help support and make a difference and save lives. So part of our slide here on the subcommittee, I'm involved with the mental health, and destigmatizing mental health is one of the key issues. We all know students are afraid, they're isolated, they're alone. So we're coming up with some great ideas on destigmatizing, and one of the areas was the empowerment that teachers have over the students. And these students go to the teachers, they don't go to the school psychologist. So we're coming up with some ideas of added teacher workshops just to prepare them best to follow a protocol and possibly modify the protocol. Another area is methods of communication. The children are not going to call an 800 number. You know, they're not going to go into a mental illness facility voluntarily, but they're going to go on their phone. So I love our committee because we have students in our committee. So the students speak up. So we were asking students, how can we reach to you when you're in dire need of help? They said, honestly, Instagram, Twitter, and the apps. So we're developing apps for the students and allowing them anonymous. It doesn't say mental health because that's the stigma. So barcodes, we came up with such great ideas on ways of communicating them. We're working on that right now. The other area I wanted to talk about was grief therapy. That's something we discussed briefly, like after the fact when things happen, parent involvement, and I know Alexis is going to talk about teacher-parent involvement, and other ways of building trust between that student and that teacher to hand it over to the school psychologist, because the students are just not going to achieve that without the support of everyone around them.
Yes, so something that we've been making sure that we're doing is increasing our community connections to make sure that our dialogue with students is on the same wavelength. So the same dialogue that they use in a mental health facility is the same language that we're using within our schools. So one specific situation where it's an example of expanding our community involvement is I, on behalf of the Smithtown Central School District, went to the South County Legislature October 2nd, and I was able to help pass a teen mental health awareness resolution, making November Teen Mental Health Awareness Month. So thanks to all of the empowerment from the Wellness Committee, I was actually able to follow through and go into the community and make sure that these efforts are not only happening within the Smithtown Central School District, but also within the entire community.
Good evening. My name is
Michelle Fromm. I'm a parent of two children in the district, one boy in elementary school, and I have a daughter at Great Hollow. I am going to speak to you about the nutritional guidelines and food and beverage marketing committee that I'm part of. One of the things that we're doing on that committee is hoping to increase the language access to the lunch menus, providing it in different languages, as well as the breakfast survey that's mailed out so that all families have access to that. The other thing we'd like to do is offer dietary alternatives. The dietitian, Regina Dunn, has worked with us on this committee as well to provide some alternatives for our meatless students, our students who are dairy-free. We don't have any of that right now on the menus, and providing more beneficial ingredients in the school menus. And we also have a committee on physical activity that Dr. Brenda Clark is going to talk more in depth about, but basically increasing movement during the day, during the school day for the children.
Jim Kelly, I teach English at High School East, and just want to say I'm very grateful for the board's ongoing support for the social emotional learning initiative. I was in the first cohort 5 years ago, and I joined the Wellness Committee at that time, and I've been a member since. But with the Wellness Committee, is it through the ongoing SEL training. That training continues from the first cohort to this day. We've introduced SEL instructional specialists at the elementary level, and we're integrating the work of the social emotional learning with parent education and family university. So I'm deeply grateful. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Connie Smith, and I teach at Smithtown High School East. I teach in consumer sciences. I'm also the advisor for FTCLA. So I've been on the committee for student connections and relationships and other school-based activities that promote wellness. Our focus is really on programs that are going to empower our students. We want them to encourage them to have peer advocacy. We are looking into programs such as Natural Helpers, which train students to help their peers. So if they're in danger or they need some help, they can come to a school professional to get that. We also want to build on the programs that we already have, because we have amazing programs in our schools, such as Challenge Day. And we want to make that a school year program for the whole school year and do activities beyond just the one Challenge Day. Thank you.
Overarching all of our wonderful subcommittee work is the work of the Vision and Mission Statement Subcommittee. Last year, we began this endeavor by drafting a SEL vision statement for the district and sharing that statement through a survey to over the community, staff, and students throughout Smithtown. We had over 700 respondents to the survey, taking important feedback from those respondents and incorporating it into the final draft or mission statement, and we look forward to sharing that with the community in the future, a sample of which was shared in the Smithtown Digest recently. We also look forward to implementing that vision statement through all the work of the Wellness Committee and publicizing it.
Hello, I'm Matt Hennings. I am Instructional Specialist for Business over at High School East, as well as a very, very proud decade advisor for somebody here who won first place for her creed campaign at the SEED competition in Rochester. And as part of the vision that we had, being able to go into the buildings and transition here, is allowing each of the buildings to sort of develop their own building-specific goals. And some of these goals are listed here, and it continues on. And just the expansion of what we've been able to do this year and really push it forth into each of the buildings to really tailor it to the needs of the students in each one of those buildings is a huge part of what we've been able to do this year. So I'm going to let Alexis talk about that.
So we've been making sure that we're promoting healthy communication skills for students. So destigmatizing mental illness and mental health as a topic, making sure that students can feel as if they can talk about their emotions and their feelings in the school setting. We're also making sure that we're promoting a positive school culture with a growth mindset for students, so still touching on that. Destigmatizing with mental health and mental illness, making school a safe space for students. One of our very successful events that I coordinated with Ms. Bradshaw was our family university event. We opened it up to both parents and students this year. We brought in mental health specialists to speak on some of these topics, including how to manage student stress and how they could build resilience in response to that. One specifically on LGBTQ youth and their challenges. And then one specifically for mental health addiction identification and response. So we've been making sure that we're promoting these positive outlets of conversations for students.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brenda Clark, and I'm one of the special education administrators. Being a part of this committee has really been an enlightening experience as we have reached out to look at all of the ways that we can support students. My slide speaks about building goals, a few more of them. Promoting movement throughout the day can be through a walking club, but it can also be movement and breathing exercises within the classroom at all levels. Sometimes even having children as they transition from one activity in the day to the next, to take that moment, to shake it out, to give themselves a little sensory hug and release, to be aware of their breathing, their heartbeat, and then be ready to refocus in on the next exciting activity that they'll take place in during the school day. Through your support, we've been able to create calming rooms, sensory centers, sensory walks, and other activities and spaces where children can calm, also experience their own bodies and their own feelings in a way that helps them desensitize and be ready again to return to educational experiences. Through our social-emotional learning coaches and our PPS staff, guidance, social workers, psychologists, and our nurses, we have a variety of professionals who have a visible presence in each of our schools to support our teachers, our students, and our support staff in being aware and available for our students no matter what their needs may be. Our parent workshops sometimes are sponsored by our PTA, sometimes through our building principals and their PPS staff, focus on a variety of topics: screen time, vaping, addressing issues such as anxiety, the importance of sleep, the importance of proper nutrition. All of this focuses in on our total child experience for wellness. Thank you for your time.
I'm Carrie Ann Stewart. I'm one of the social workers for the district. I work at Tech Ann Elementary School. So this slide focuses on the mental health resources. We've heard back from parents and community members alike that at times they don't know where to go to find the resources that they need in a moment of crisis or just a moment of need. So we have created a resource list that is under the parents tab on our website, listed as mental health resources. On the list, we have mental health substance use crisis resources such as LICAD, crisis text line, and a response crisis center, to name a few. We also have other resources such as child protective services, adult protective services, and domestic and sexual abuse resource numbers that they can get to if needs be. We also have other additional resources such as the Smithtown Family Foundation that provides financial assistance and as well as emotional assistance if needs be, just to name a few off of the list. So we've been focusing on that just so parents and also maybe if students, older students, want to access something, it's there and it's easy to find instead of having to click around and try to find where to go to get the information. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart.
I want to just let the board know that in addition to all of the kind of passion projects that we're telling you about tonight, one of our responsibilities is to revise our building wellness, our district wellness plan. That will be coming to you later this spring for approval. So you just kind of got the highlights about what's going to be in that plan, but in a little more formalized version. We also put out the district digest to let the whole community know what we're doing regarding wellness, and also to make sure that everybody knows where those resources that Ms. Stewart just spoke about are on our district website. Everybody can access those, whether they're a district student, parent, or community member. I'm really excited to close with our next steps and our wrap-up with another student, Erin Palmer.
Hi, I'm Erin Palmer, and I'm a senior at Smith County and I'm a member of the Athletes Helping Athletes program. So as Ms. Bradshaw just mentioned, that the wellness plan revision is a requirement, but as we've been working throughout the year on the wellness committee, we're trying to go above and beyond just the basics and the basic requirements in this wellness plan. In the wellness plan, we want to make it comprehensive and complete to best fit the needs of all of our students. And in the wellness subcommittees, we've been working to pursue each goals and have it written down to be held accountable in the wellness plan. So writing down, we want to have greater mental health awareness and education, a broader community education about wellness, and expanding wellness rooms, wellness centers, and increasing access to mental health and support. Those were kind of the highlights of our committee this year. And as we mentioned earlier in the presentation, this year the Wellness 6 Committee has expanded greatly to include all sorts of aspects from the community, with students and a lot more parent and community involvement. So now building forward and moving forward, we'd like to build on those connections and increase community connections to best implement the wellness plan. So we've made connections with local philanthropic groups, the Town of Smithtown and the Smithtown Youth Bureau, the Wellness, the Well Life Network, and my personal favorite, the Suffolk County Athletics and Student Advisory Committee. But we'd like to thank you so much for supporting the Wellness Committee and really providing the best chance for our students to succeed. So thank you.
I can't thank you enough, each and every one of you. And I think, I don't know, what I'm feeling is the emotion, I guess, from each person that's standing up there and how genuine each one of you are. I can't thank you enough. I just, as a superintendent, proud and great presentation. And is there a topic more important? I don't know. I don't think there is that I can think of. So thank you. That's great.
Just a few questions. I think it's fantastic, and obviously we have a lot of our students and a lot of our staff reaching out and working with the kids that are seeking the support. You know, but one of the questions that we have is, how are we reaching the kids who aren't comfortable, the ones that are shy, the ones that are withdrawn, the ones that we're not connecting to, that are crying out for help, but doing it silently, you know, and are being missed? Like, how do we make sure that in our buildings that we are connecting with all kids and then putting our resources to support not only the children, you know, but their families that are struggling silently through some really difficult things?
Well, I would say that is one of the very questions that this committee brought to the table. How do we reach those students? And they alluded to, some people alluded to a couple of the ideas. Do you want to add something, Jackie?
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Benger. I'm a family consumer science teacher at ESA. I'm also on the committee. I'm just here to support. But that was one of our biggest passions, because as a teacher, I feel like that's my job. But I also want to use the students in our own building for that. So we have the students that are always going to be the vocal ones, that are going to bring the ideas and the issues to us. So I want to do, I was a natural helper in my high school for 2 years. And it's an amazing program where we then train those vocal students. And we teach them how to just even put their feelers out and their ears out to listen to what's going on in our own schools, and then bring it back to the professionals, like our social workers and our school psychologists. And then they use that to address the needs of the building as a whole. So we're not just focusing on those vocal children. They're using their skills of being vocal and being outgoing and addressing the needs of their peers as well. So that was one of the biggest ideas. I know we focus a lot as educators on just building those relationships, but it's teaching kids how to build their own relationships also.
Right. You know, these are fantastic, but another thing, how do we ensure that children in all different buildings are getting a similar experience? Like, you may have one building that the buy-in from the faculty and from the students and from the community for that elementary school or that particular middle school or high school, they're all in. And then other buildings maybe aren't as overzealous with making this, you know, the number one priority. But how do we ensure that kids get in all of our different buildings a similar experience? Not identical,
right,
but similar.
Right. Does anybody want Mr. Kelly?
I mean, you know, with some of the examples we gave before, I mean, we're taking that challenge right on. That's what we're working on. We're really focusing on this because every day matters. But the students, again, you know, for the Instagram, Twitter, I mean, we already started having people who started building apps. You know, that's the way we get to them. And that's universal. It's all about the social media technology. We don't really want them to do that. That was one avenue, and we're building that right now. And with the tagging with the website, which is throughout the district, but still, you're not really going to get all those students. Another way is the parents. This family university that Alexis was talking about was standing room only, and the parents were raising their hand. How do we help our kids? So it's really 50% the students, 50% the parents.
Okay.
So the family university is critical. I think every building should have one. Every building should have it. Every quarter you should have it. You should have on hand resources giving out to those students, welcome the students, their siblings to that. But absolutely the family university, the teacher workshops are critical. Teachers are go to, you know, the teacher, they trust teachers more than their parents. These students, my daughter's telling me, my daughter went to a teacher for another student that was looking to hurt herself. Days ago. And that's another thing is we get that students, and that's universal throughout every building, that these workshops set up protocols, because what is protocol now? Walking them, you know, I don't blame these teachers, they're nervous. You know, the students telling them they want to threaten their life. So that whole protocol needs to be expanded and workshops to better prepare the teachers, not to be therapists, but to have the students be heard by the teachers so the teachers can properly say, the protocol is for me to bring it down to the psychologist. Are you okay with that? You know, so it's kind of like a universal thing, but I'm definitely taking notes. That's very important to keep it even amongst, so everyone has access.
It's in the same chapter. It doesn't have to be on the same page, but at least the same chapter in the same book. So,
right.
You know, kids will get a
right.
Similar experience. Another question that I had following up on that, you talked about 700 was the response.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a way, at least maybe middle school through high school, where we could, you know, take some time from an instructional period where we could set up type of questioning where we can get kids to really anonymously talk about their feelings or talking about friends? And again, I know it's not going to pinpoint specific children that, you know, are struggling, but at least it may give a better sense to those buildings, you know, what kids or students are really feeling, you know, or different issues that they may be having. And if we take time from, you know, a period of instruction, at least we can get a much larger response from our student body and then help drive some of our programs based upon that response. Do it by building, do it by district, so you can key in on that. Is that something you thought to do with the committee?
Go ahead,
Kim.
So I can speak a little bit to the systematic rollout, how we want to make this consistent across buildings.
Okay.
And long term, at the elementary level, we have this year implemented an instructional SEL specialist at each building, and we meet monthly to discuss what's going on in our building, what needs are in our building. In the fall, we did send out a survey to staff in each building to find out where they needed support in SEL and how, and then came up together with ideas about how we could meet those needs in each individual building. And we also do have some larger activities that we're looking toward next year, which I don't want to go into too much detail because we are going to have our own presentation, I think, soon, the social-emotional specialist. But, you know, that is one way we're looking to provide consistency across the district. And as far as teaching students. I think that as time goes on, I know it's not, doesn't address the needs of our middle school and high school students right now, but at the elementary level, we have daily morning meetings. We have become very comfortable with sharing our emotions and feelings with one another in the classroom, and the teachers are being encouraged to hold those conversations with their student and direct them toward the resources in the building that can help them. So I think my hope as an elementary teacher is that as we're giving students the language and comfortability at a young age, that it will eventually scaffold up to the older grades.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, Ms. Paplin mentioned that we're going to be doing an SEL presentation. I think we can very easily work in some more specifics about how we might do what you're suggesting, Mike. We recently sent quite a number of our administrators and teachers to some training with Mark Brackett from Yale, and I would say that at the elementary and at the secondary level, there was a really positive reaction, something that we might be able to do systematically, K through 12 ultimately. And so we're going to be sending out some, we're hopeful that the board will approve some training for that, so that we can vet it, see if it's everything that it promises to be. It comes from Yale, it's very well vetted, but we want to make sure it's right for Smithtown. And I think it will address some of those very things that you're asking about.
Yeah, and that elementary SEL has three building principals, right? I know, right?
Yeah, Dr.
Leeds. I think Dr. Leeds is right, and I know that, you know, we're sending a team out, in fact, tonight.
I just want to say that the two students are from TAC, and I don't
know. Nice work.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah. So something we're approving, in fact, tonight that's on there.
Right.
Right at the last minute because we wanted to get in. Because if we didn't, we weren't getting in until the summer, right? So we had to get it in tonight. But, yeah, the elementary's working on that, which is great as well.
Great. Any other question?
Just the mental health aspect is something that we as a board have really tried to put everything behind that we can because we realize it is a priority. Just to piggyback on the importance of that, 2 weeks ago with our legislative committee meeting, we had a very good conversation about mental health and providing resources with Supervisor Wertheim and Councilman Lohman, and we're looking to partner up together with the town government on giving as much support to our community as possible, and not only students, but there are adults out there that need to know that they have opportunities and possibilities to find help as well. So once we have some more information on that, hopefully at our next meeting, definitely look to pass that along and then hopefully be able to partner up with the Wellness Committee and just do what's right and look to help our community.
Oh, this committee couldn't be more excited to support an effort like we were discussing with the town, so that's going to be very good.
One of the possibilities that we discussed was using one of our vacant buildings to use it in a positive way so people know that there is a place to go. And, you know, there's a variety of possibilities that we spoke about, but, you know, we have options and we have resources and, you know, how do we use them effectively and efficiently? So as we go, we'll definitely keep you posted.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
And get people involved.
I didn't know if you were going to bring that up, but I'm glad you did because that's, you know, up to you to say. And we did, because the direction of the board, we did meet with a realtor, and we are looking into that as well. But I know that this committee would love to have one of those buildings and the possibility of working with our entire community. So we're trying to work on something now.
We're still at the ground level, but we're making the right steps.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Great job. Thank you. Calendar, I'm going to begin to talk a little bit about the calendar upcoming. I don't know if you want to make the changes before I start speaking, because usually I tell you what's upcoming. Because right now you have a budget development workshop that's on the 17th, but I think we're going to be changing that, my understanding, to the 24th.
Correct.
We're going to begin the meeting that night on 7:30. So if you are planning on St. Patrick's Day to be here, don't come. We're going to be having that on the 24th. You do have executive session only on Wednesday the 18th and the 19th, just reminding you of that, and parent-teacher conferences on the 11th. You should be aware, half day for elementary for the calendar. You have a second reading of a policy. I spoke about it last time. It's nothing that's really intensive at all. In fact, I think it was the word agent that we had to change in that, but we did have to have it for a couple of readings, and that conflict of interest policy second reading is there if you have any questions or so on. That was that. And did I have... That's it. I'm done.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Public participation.
Dawn Schiraldi.
teacher.
Hey, how are you all tonight?
Hi, Mr. Raldi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here because I sent an email a couple weeks ago and didn't get a response from anybody, so I had wanted to address a few questions that I had.
Okay.
I figured since I didn't hear from you, I'd come to you. I was told not too long ago that we had had an extension or an addition or a new teacher's contract, and I just needed to ask a few questions because I wasn't really sure of all the information I had. And
are you sure it's a teacher, not an administrator? Because we just had the administrative contract.
No, this is a teacher contract question. Wow, see, that's
Oh, that was pretty good. So approval, because you were saying, I thought you said a new one was just approved?
I'm not sure when it was approved. Okay. So that was one of my questions.
Got it. So that was approved. So my understanding was that it was approved last year in the spring, the extension was. Am I correct about that? The teacher's contract extension was done last spring.
Right, before you came, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'm not saying, yeah. Well, not me, it's them. No, I'm not.
Well,
I'm not saying that. I'm just wanting
to talk to them. Yeah. Okay, so you use the term extension. That's a good place to start. My understanding is this is for 5 years.
No, my understanding,
what
correct,
is it for?
Correct me if I'm wrong, I thought it was 4 years.
Through
2024.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we'll pull it up for you.
So it was a 4-year contract extension, all the way you may. We're with this for the next 4 years. I would like to know, as I've come to you through the past 3 to 4 years, asking about extra help, asking about Regents Review, and I'd like to know what kind of changes were made to this contract, because when I look it up on C3 New York, I don't find much change. And while I've spoken to some of our administrators and I know what they're trying to do building-wise, I would like to know when other districts around us are evolving with the times, working on extra help, making sure that it's not just the 15 or 20 minutes before school starts when we don't have busing that gets kids there to be able to have functional extra help time. And I'm talking mostly on the middle and high school level, although I have to say when I was in the middle school, we had spectacular extra help. The teachers bent over backwards. So I want to just say that I had a great middle school experience where I was. But at the high school level, we're not finding that extra help is what it should be. And you know that because I've been here for years talking about it. I know, I saw Mrs. Elsie come in. I know that she has spoken about it. I've been here for some of her addresses with you about it. And we've talked about review books and Regents Review. I would like to know, can we amend this contract? Is there any way to tighten up the language and to start having some kind of accountability like the districts around us have for extra help so it can work pertinent?
Yeah. Just so you know, the answer is yes. There is always that ability, and I know I work directly, and I can't commend, I think she's, my eyes aren't that good, but I can't commend Ms. Spencer enough. Because since I've been here, we've already have done some things. If you watch, because it's not just the extension, you might want to look at, and I can get them to you, some of the MOAs that we've done recently and some that we're in conversation with now. Anytime we have the opportunity to improve something that we look at and that we can come to an agreement on, I know the teachers union is always open to that since I've been here. We do that. What I would say is that both sides, when you have a contract that's in place, it's not something where it's mandated, you know, not something where, oh, we're in the bargaining table because we're 3 months away. When it is extended out, you don't have to come to the table, although the union absolutely has, and we have done some of those things. So I could take some of your ideas as we go along and certainly look at that. Because sometimes even with the teachers union, just most recently we had a conversation today about, you know, things about teaching from home and things of that nature that, you know, although they're not in the contract, you don't plan for it, all of a sudden it just comes and you have to deal with it. And there's always that you're coming together and saying, hey, can we put together an MOA that helps everyone? So the answer is yes, but it's not mandated, if that makes any sense.
Okay, I guess my question is just that if it's, and again, my understanding is it's at the board's discretion as to when and how to negotiate the contracts and put it into play. And as Dr. Ghassani was leaving, I just find it interesting that they did it when he was leaving and not as somebody new was coming in. to have some say in what goes on, but I also want to know why they didn't just put that into play, knowing that this is a problem within our district and the community has brought it up before over the past few years. And that's that. This is all prior to you. It was when Dr. Bersani was here, and here we are almost a year later with a lot of the same issues.
Right.
And now, with all that's going on with the needing to put plans in place in case of this whole corona thing,
right,
we're even more behind the eight ball is what I'm seeing. So I'd like to hear from them as to why it was not addressed.
Right. I can explain that.
I mean, do you guys have, I don't know each of you very well. I know a few of you don't have secondary age kids. What's our representation ultimately on the board of secondary?
Yeah, but just so you know, when they go to negotiations, right, there's a negotiating team that represents the district,
mm-hmm.
and there's a negotiation team that represents the teachers' union.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come together behind closed doors, obviously, it's private, and they negotiate. So some of the things, and by the way, some of the things that you're saying might have at one particular time been on the table, and then at the end of the day, there's an agreement made between the union and the school district, and I would assume that not everybody is 100% getting everything they want. But I do know that when you say who's representing high schools and elementary schools and
right.
middle schools,
right.
it's the board, in my understanding, and with this particular one, we had a negotiating team here, correct?
Yeah.
Right, so there's a negotiating team representing the entire district.
And I hear you, but my question is, do we have representation for secondary school with the Board of Education who have had experience with kids in these schools?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so who has secondary ed kids? And are they high school or middle school?
High school.
East or west?
East.
Good to know. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay,
so my next question for you is, going back to the infamous board league.
Going back and forth. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Well, just go ahead with your next question.
Well, it's
3 minutes. We usually go 3 minutes, and as I say, we're going back and forth, but I keep going. We got time.
Okay. My next question was, I just happened to notice that since I got to meet you, that I started paying a lot more attention to the minutes from the Board of Ed meetings, and I'm noticing that we only have yays. We very rarely have nays on anything that gets voted for. And also, we don't normally say what we're voting on. So I'm a little interested in knowing why we don't, if you want to pull a duke it out, over things that might be of interest or things that are we only bringing things that everybody is already in agreement on? Because I have not always been in Smithtown. I lived elsewhere, and we would go to Board of Ed meetings, and we would hear the different sides and the different views of the people on the Board of Ed representing the different things from the community. And we always seem to have everybody say yes, and everybody always agrees, and there doesn't ever seem to be conversation here that shows that there's discussion.
I can speak for my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of the fact that our board is lockstep in terms of, you know, being in agreement. And I'm proud of the fact that any conversations that we have is civil. I have been in different school districts where it could be, you know, very uncomfortable and it gets heated and it's inappropriate. You know, one of the things that we're fortunate about, prior to things being brought to the Board of Education, there's a lot of information that goes home to board members in terms of backing up information that's going to be put onto the agenda in great detail. So when we're making a decision, it's not that we're just taking the word of our cabinet, but information is being brought home, sent home to us in our Friday packages so we can get a deeper understanding. And I have to be honest, my experience here, most things are pretty well done in Smithtown. Is there an area for improvement? Absolutely. You know, but in terms of the arguing up here that may go on in other districts, you know, I'm proud of the fact that we don't.
Okay, maybe I misworded it. I didn't mean literally duke it out.
I've seen that. It gets pretty contentious.
Right.
Yeah.
Different sides of the debate
yeah.
over things that we are doing.
Yeah.
And if you want to call me, we can talk about some of the things I'm referring to. I really didn't want to do it in a public forum.
Sure.
In regards to me being here tonight, I did send an email, and it just brings up the fact that communication here is something you probably need to work on, because I emailed you guys like over two weeks ago. It went through. I know it did. And he called me.
And I apologize if Jeremy or I did not get back to you, but I will get back to you this week.
Okay, just because, I mean, I know I'm not alone, and it's funny when you're talking about mental health, and some of the things that go on here in this district, I can tell you people reach out through social media. So I love the fact the ladies were speaking about developing apps and finding ways to use social media. And I love the fact that they're coming, but right now we're already here and people are already using social media. I see what goes on. There's a couple people here that know I refer to social media as the Wild West, because it is. There's crazy stuff that goes on there. But I know I'm not alone in how the communication goes on here. I've seen so many emails. I'm sure Mrs. Elfie can show you what goes on, because lots of times she reads it all up for you before too many people see it, because she's really good at that. But there's a lot of things that are posted that are not answers, are like, I emailed them back here, let me check it off the list. And it's just pulling people away from coming. Some of you have asked me why people don't come here, and I think the lack of communication that we have here is probably part of that. Okay. So, I mean, if...
One of the things that we've instituted this year, actually last year, and we're continuing on, we've been actually going out to buildings, you know, trying to make it a little bit easier for families in the community to come to their local elementary school or middle school, and we've been on a rotating basis. I think Mr. Stewart has done an excellent job where we're bringing in presentations and programs and really highlighting the good work that's going on in our buildings and celebrating our kids' successes and different things that they're doing. So in terms of communicating at a public board meeting, I think we've really listened to that critique in the past and have put that in place to really highlight, celebrate the good things that are going on here. It's something we're improving upon. Certainly, you know, an area that we can continue to grow in. Is there a specific area or specific media that you're looking for that communication or?
I'm talking about general communication. If a parent emails a teacher, how long should that be before the teacher gets back to them?
Yeah,
if
you know what, and I agree, let me just make sure. I absolutely agree. I'm not saying wholesale and everybody in the district, because some I've seen are incredible about getting back and following up, and some not so much so. And as a district, it's something I think we're working on to get that response as quick. Even if you get back and say, hey, I'm busy, we're going through something right now, give me a day or two, I'll get back to you. But it is something that we're reiterating in our AC meetings, the cabinet meetings. So loud and clear, I heard you.
Okay. But while we're on the mental health thing, too, first I want to say I completely agree with you. I love the fact that there is such a genuine desire by so many people in our district to help work through some of our mental health things that we have going on here. I absolutely love that. I agree with Mr. Savings that getting some of our kids involved and getting them in a room who can really talk about some of the things that are going on with them in a comfortable way, and kids that might not typically share in a group setting or on, what's the day that you're talking about?
Challenge day.
On challenge day, you don't have necessarily kids that will talk through that. They'll just sit and listen. But I love that concept. But, you know, going back to the extra help thing, going back to other things that are going on, if we could get some of these things right and fix them, I think that would do a great job going towards our mental health thing. And I know we've spoken a little bit about it, but since this predates you and has been something I've worked with the board and actually I've spoken to Mrs. Bradshaw about, I would just like to raise again the question about 504s, kids in middle school who are not being supported because of being mandated to take Project Lead the Way. Or maybe it's not Project Lead the Way, but they're getting pulled out of classrooms and being in the classroom maybe 60 or 70% of the time while being held 100% accountable for the work. I spoke to Mrs. Bradshaw over 3 years ago regarding my daughter, And she told me not to worry about it because it was going to be a standard-based grade. And I said, but going forward, my concern is that the thing about the work, the thing about grades, well, is it going to eventually be graded? And, you know, I was worried long-term. So now I've lived with 3 years. My daughter is no longer in middle school. I've seen what happened. I spoke to two administrators about it. And I have to say, Mr. Fury was one of the people who helped work through the statistics and the numbers of what was happening and the kids falling through the cracks with this
Mrs. Schrombe?
Issue.
If I can, if you're available Saturday or Sunday just during the week, it's just not great, but I will give you a call this weekend.
Sure.
And we'll go through.
But I just want to follow up to say, all that stuff went through, we gave the opportunity, but here we are, I'm telling you that with mental health, by not following up on making sure we take into account these kids' feelings and mental health, it is following my daughter into the high school and the things and the anxiety that it has kicked off because we didn't follow up on the concerns of the time. Okay. And again, in the same vein, here we are looking to do a book club, and I'm really concerned. I was very excited. There was a lot of talk about this on social media. A ton. Got me interested. I was curious. So I went online. It took me a little while. I found it. I printed out the flyer. And when I looked at the flyer and I saw what the book was, I was a little concerned. And I just want to know, if we're trying to build relationships and we're trying to find a way to have better relations amongst each other and with each other, and I'm not saying you and me, I'm just, you know, generally speaking, why did we pick a book that's a political hotbed, hot issue topic to have as our book club book instead of picking something that's relevant to what's going on? I mean, you all know, I believe if I have the numbers right, we've had 4 suicides here since September in our district that have affected a very wide range of a group of people. And if we're looking to work through mental health, if we're looking to be supportive for our community, instead of picking something that's a political hotbed issue that could potentially be more harmful than helpful, why aren't we picking a book on suicide and talking about that kind
okay,
of stuff?
Okay, so can we, if you mind, so the question is why we picked the book, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Ms. Bradshaw will answer.
We certainly were not seeking a book that was a political hotbed. What we were seeking was something that does what we are seeking to do as a district, mm-hmm. which is to work on empathy skills. Mm-hmm. And that's really foundational to the social-emotional learning work that we're doing. Every day, and I would invite anybody who wants to read the book and then come speak with us to bring that to the table. There was nothing political in the intent of bringing this book to the community, and we're also inviting the entire community to suggest future books for us to read, and then we'll choose from what the community is suggesting from the people who are interested, who want to come to the table. But this really came out of the work of our equity team, and among the groups that this book builds empathy for, if you do have a chance to read it, which it's a beautiful read. It's an autobiography of a civil rights attorney. It addresses people who are on death row with disabilities and who did not get adequate representation. So it is about our justice system. It is about how people are represented in different ways. It's just a great thing to talk about, but it's not intended to be a political statement on the part of the district. It's not intended to do anything other than bring the community together to have a conversation about a book that's a bestseller, it's in the movies, and I think it would be great if you could join us.
I hear what you're saying, and I just want to finish with this, and I promise I'll walk away, I promise. I hear what you're saying, I completely do. But I think when it comes to things that are going on here, again, going back to the whole, why don't people come, where do they turn, how do people speak, I think that vehicle is social media. And I can tell you from watching what's going on in just the past 4 days, on social media, again, I refer to it as the Wild West for a reason. I can tell you that people don't see this as a beautiful read. I can tell you that people do not see this as a time to learn how to use empathy. They see it as a topic that's hot. They see it as a social justice thing, and social justice, just those two words together, depending on which side of the political spectrum you're on, don't sit well actually with either side, because there's a fight, and unfortunately we're at a place in our, we're at a place in history with our country where those things are hot. And I'm just going to say, I think it just goes to show that maybe we're not as in touch with what people really think. I know we have a lot of committees. I know you guys really do try to get community input, but some of the best community input is really going to be through that social media. And I sat here tonight listening to you, listening to them. And again, I commend them, and I love their genuine, you know, genuine, I can't say that word, but you know where I'm going. I love that. And I can't wait to see. I'm not quite sure how it's going to get rolling out to, but I look forward to seeing it because it's necessary. But I think, you know, I was sitting here online in the Wild West and watching Mrs. Elsky delete. She does so much time. She makes you all look so good. But I have to tell you, and maybe I'm missing something, maybe you want to say something, but this book, and I mean, she's just tonight in the hour we were sitting here, coronavirus, is school going to be open or closed? Suicide, they talked about mental health, communication issues, somebody posted an email from a teacher that was not probably best. There was new stuff going on about social, the My School Box, and how can we possibly stop our kids from only buying snacks and crap in the cafeteria because it's so hard. Is there a way?
There is a way.
I understand there's a way.
Okay.
Because I had to do it when my kid was in school.
But Mr. Charles, if you don't mind, I will promise I will call you this weekend just so we can go on with the meeting tonight. I will give you a call either Saturday afternoon or Sunday, late morning, and this way we can go over the rest of your list, and I'll bring it back to the board and to the cabinet, and we'll, I look forward to that conversation.
Okay, let's set a time today, because actually, I'm going to be away in Syracuse with the All-State team because they're
if you stay after the meeting, I promise I'm going to go to you first, and we'll find a mutual time that will work.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
I'm just going to say it real quick to you guys. I think you're doing a lot of good things here, and I think we can't lose sight of it. I think on the mental health, yes, I do delete, and I get, as you can see, beat up for it many, many times. I think we have to be mindful. I think communication's key. The one thing that I want to say is here, I think we do have principals that really do it right. I think you have a lot of new people in the community that do not have children that have done it before. So I think sometimes we think we know back to step one, like the school box. I think sometimes we just have to step back and not assume everybody goes to PTA meetings. So I think we have to make it easy, maybe on our website to each school, to have like a block or have, because I'm finding a lot of the questions are very simple. As far as the other thing I want to say to you, and that's one thing about saying equity in buildings, about doing things, it's so important. How to build relationships, how to find out what's going, have people walk hallways, because I'm not going to get into anything, but as we know, my child did not have a good experience in one building, and it really turned out beautiful. So you do have these issues, they are there, but I need you to know that if it's done correctly, there is light at any time. And I see sometimes very negative situations on my page, and I delete. But I think so many times people just want to be heard. And I think the point is very valid that you had to say, Mr. Stewart, if people can't get back, because look, you're busy. There are principals that are very busy. A simple, can I get back to you here? That's all you need, because people feel heard. And that's what people want to do, feel heard. And that's the bottom line. So it's pretty simple in communication. It's just putting the initial communication out. And then that just saves, why aren't they calling, and people snapping. And I think it's very important that everybody that sends an email realizes that even though it says do not share, anytime they write an email, know that it can probably be shared. So be mindful what you write.
No, very well aware of that. I appreciate it. And just I want to speak for the board. And Andrew, thank you so much. I appreciate all that you do for our community. If the board doesn't mind me speaking, I am so proud of our teachers, and our administrators and our faculty and staff and our community. This is a wonderful place to live because of our community and because of our teachers and our buildings. And are there areas where we can grow and improve? Absolutely. And I can say that, you know, we can speak about that for any organization. But all of us live here because of the schools and the communities and the people that really do right by our kids. And, you know, we're proud to be here, and I hope our community feels the same way. You know, there's areas for growth. You know, we're not there yet, but we are certainly well on our way, and we provide a really outstanding experience for all of our kids. And if you look at the different programs that we offer here in Smithtown, there is something for just about everyone. And if we don't have that program, that's something we're going to talk about. But Andrea, I don't think anybody here at the table or in the audience is going to disagree that there are ways that we can improve, and that's something we're going to continue to have that conversation on.
There's a lot of things right, Mike.
No, I know you, and you absolutely did say that, and I know you absolutely say it on your page. You know, there are things that we do really well, and there's areas of focus where we can do even better, and that's going to continue with the work of district office and our building leadership and our teachers unit and our teachers, and, you know, we're going to keep on pushing forward to be the best district that we can possibly be.
Well said, Mike.
Okay, that's it.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Move on.
All right, that was one public speaker. So we're going to move on to consent agenda.
Yeah, I ask the board approve items 13 to 19 on the consent agenda.
Does any board member wish to remove any item from the consent agenda? Can I have a motion to approve a consent agenda items 13 through 19?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All of those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. All right. Tonight we're approving a few things. One of the items that we are approving tonight is the retirement of Bona Tobin. On the behalf of the Board of Education, we'd like you to thank you for all the work that you've done here in Smithtown. Started off as a consultant and moved into the Assistant Superintendent for Pupil Personnel, and has brought some really good experiences from your past to improve our special education program. And on behalf of the board and our community, we just would like to thank you. Tonight on the agenda, we're also appointing the interim Great Hollow Middle School Assistant Principal, Jeremy Melnick. Is Mr. Melnick here this evening? And as a TACAM parent, I'm going to say that we have some big shoes to fill, but I believe that Mr. Fury has the confidence of our community and the Board of Education, and he's going to continue the good work that Dr. Leeds has done at TACAM for quite some time. So, Mr. Fury, if you please join me right now. Congratulations. Lucky to have you at the building. Any new business? I do have one new business item on the candidates to serve on the board of Western Suffolk BOCES. So be it resolved that the Smithtown Central School District Board of Education endorses the nomination of Ms. Jeanette Santos and Mr. Peter Wunsch as candidates to serve on the board of Western Suffolk BOCES, which will hold its election on Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Need to do a motion.
We do a motion.
All right. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. If that's it? Nope. All right. If there's nothing else, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you very much, everyone.